first person singular. This morning, a tale of memory and the mother line from freelance journalist Hadani Ditmars. She's in Vancouver.
When I turned 30, I dreamt my grandmothers were calling me. Perhaps it was a time for me to honor ancestresses. Mothers, grandmothers, stories unending. There were the big-hipped ones from Lebanon, like great-grandmother Masadi. She left the village, married already at 16. They escaped at night with Turkish gunboats close behind. With her husband and mother-in-law, she crossed the sea to America and ended up in Prince Rupert. A store was opened by a lone Arab family to serve the First Nations and Scots people who came to buy things. 7 children later, Masadi grew old in a strange land, much colder than her own. There were small-chested, thin-lipped ones from the Midlands, like great-grandmother Martha. She left a village for America, too, where her Methodist preacher father took the family across the country in a covered wagon. Fire and brimstone in the Midwest led to union organizing in Colville, now called Nanaimo. Martha met a sailor once, but she married later and bore my grandfather. As a descendant of both Martha and Masadi, sometimes I feel like a double agent. I have inherited Martha's flat chest and Masadi's big hips, the English height and the Lebanese cheekbones, but I have transgressed both their codes. I live alone in a room where I write. I am 30, childless and quite unmarried. What would they say in the villages? When I went to Iraq last month, they stopped me at the border. The secret police, who weren't very, took me to a room and rifled through my things. They took out a photo of me in Qar'aun with the village shepherd. He was playing his pan flute beside me on a mountain behind the Golan Heights. The policeman looked past my Canadian passport and into my eyes. "This photo looks like northern Iraq," he said. "You are a Kurd." "No," I said, "I'm a Canadian journalist going to Baghdad for the New York Times. That is a photo of my grandmother's village in Lebanon." The policeman looked at me and then back at the photograph. He did not believe me. He pointed to another photo of me with my arm around a tall, dark man. "Who is he?" he demanded. "My boyfriend," I replied. "No," said the policeman, "I am your boyfriend now." "Ha ha," he laughed. "Ha, he was only joking," he said. "Let me go with only a small bakshish." The men at the Ministry of Information in Baghdad didn't believe me either. They too looked past the passport and into my eyes. When I wore my beret and leather jacket, they called me a whore in Arabic that I understood. When I wore a scarf around my head, they asked me politely if I were married. My driver wanted to marry me and run away with me to Canada. "My wife is too fat," he said. "I want to leave Iraq." The men from American television stations wanted me to come to their hotel rooms for drinks. I wanted to use their fax machines. None of them wanted to marry me. When I walked with them in the street outside the hotel, the tongues of women whose husbands drove journalists would cluck with disapproval. They thought I was an Iraqi whore walking with foreign blonde men, as so many local girls did to survive the embargo. $30 a night. I paid my driver $20 a day. He drove me places that were too dangerous to go alone. Once we went to the airport, where no plane had flown since the first day of the Gulf War. The men at the ministry and the other journalists were there, but I was not supposed to know about it. Today was the day that a Russian plane was supposed to land, full of food and medicine. I wasn't supposed to be there. They only wanted television cameras, but I outfoxed them. It was quite an event. There were sheep out on the tarmac ready for slaughter. There were Bedouins holding up pictures of Saddam Hussein. And there were women dancing and going, "La, la, 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 la." The plane never landed, but everyone had a good time and I got published. "La, la, 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 la." "What's a ululation?" asked my editor at the Times, Mr. Engelberg, when I called him later in New York. "Well, it's this thing," I began, "from the back of your throat, a cry, a..." Engelberg didn't get it, so he finally asked me to make the sound, right there and then, in the Ministry of Information, full of foreign correspondents and fat Iraqi men smoking Sumer cigarettes. And so it came, this sound from the back of my throat, this cry from a crowded room full of spooks in Baghdad to the office of the New York Times. "La, la, 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 la." means celebration, I said. That night, I dreamt of my grandmother's dancing.
Hadani Ditmars is a freelance journalist living in Vancouver.